Broadcasting from Florida Tech, this is WFIT Melbourne, 89.5 FM. You're tuned to Soundwaves, and we have some very special guests in the WFIT studio today, Vintage Trouble.
Hello, how are you?
Man, guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure. Now, you know, you guys formed back in 2010 as a band, and then you did the first album after that, and then you've had a magical 3 years. I mean, what has happened?
Well, we just have our one record right now that's out. It's called The Bomb Shelter Sessions. Well, what we did was, you know, we're this band in L.A., and like most other people in Los Angeles, you fall into a trap where you start playing around L.A. all the time, and you find yourself doing horrible things like paying to play music. It just doesn't make any sense. So what we decided when we got together as a band was that we were just going to set ourselves up in residencies if we could. And we were only going to do original music, and we were going to try and go to different parts of Los Angeles and kind of cover all of our bases. And from that, what happened was Doc McGee, our manager, found us, and we decided we wanted to go to the UK first. So a lot of people here that are just getting our record, it's interesting because we play here in the States, and half of our audience have had our record for 2 years, and the other half are just starting to catch on because we've had the great honor since the time I told you we went to England and did the Jules Holland show. We went on the road with Brian May, and then we did Bon Jovi, and then we did Lenny Kravitz, and we came back to the States, and we did a lot of television shows here like David Letterman and the Tonight Show and stuff, and it's kind of brought in the awareness up of us here in the States. So it's weird for us because we've already recorded a second record that we had ready almost to go out, and then everyone's starting to catch on to the Bomb Shelter Sessions here, which is nice for us because we weren't really ready to let go of a lot of the songs that we didn't feel like had enough life yet, you know?
Right.
So we have the fortune of having a record out and having a live record in the can and another record in the can. So
now you kind of did it like opposite. Like most bands in the United States like want to make it in the States and then go to Europe. Now you actually made it first in Europe, and then
those people don't know what they're doing.
So that's the secret, huh? That's the secret.
We follow the early '60s mode.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix did the same thing, and
well, it worked for him.
Yeah,
and then also, you know, the whole Stax Vault tour, they did the same thing as well. In '67, they took all of their rhythm and blues artists over to the UK because, you know, they knew that there was such a thirst and a hunger for R&B and soul music there. And it's been one of our dreams to do like they did back in 1967. And just to tie some other things together, Booker T. Jones is the guy that is the MD for most of that stuff when they're on the road. And so you watch all those things, and he comes forward with Green Onion, just watch this whole DVD that we have of that concert. And we've been just, you know, basically designing our career after that moment in their lives. And recently we got a chance to write and record with Booker T. Jones. And we're actually going to be on his new record that's coming out called Sound the Alarm.
Yeah.
And so it's just weird. Like every day something newly fantastic happens. and you just stay in, you know, our bodies burst from all the appreciation. But it's just wild that I guess there's a time that we're in right now. And I guess certain styles of music and certain kinds of art and everything, you know, it's being very specific about what the universe is asking for. And I'm going to knock on wood right now, but I just hope it keeps asking for us because it's been nice over the last couple of years.
It seems to be working for you, you know. It sounds great. And it's great return to, like, soul music again. And it's from the heart. It's passionate, you know. And you guys just perform beautifully together, you know. It's, you know, were you guys friends before in L.A.?
We're not friends now.
Or you used to be until you started touring.
Oh, yes, we were friends in L.A., and that's the cool part about it is that you get to, I mean, the best musicians in the world are in these main major music cities that we have. And in L.A., we did know each other, but, you know, the stars hadn't crossed, and we weren't able to get to each other in the right amount of time. And then so when we all could free some time up to actually do this together, the second we sat down and played together, it was an easy go-ahead.
It just clicked. I mean,
yeah.
You knew it. All right, we have Vintage Trouble in the studio today. Ty Taylor on vocals, Nolly Colt on guitar, Rick Berrio Dill on bass, Richard Danielson on drums. Can you play us a song?
Yeah, we're going to do actually the song that you played us in with Blues Hand-Me-Down. It's kind of been one of our main songs. It's like an anthem for us right now. It's where we got the name of our band from. There's a line in the middle of the song, which you'll hear, which is, I come from Vintage Trouble, look out if I'm the one you found. And we wrote the lyric before we were called Vintage Trouble, and we just decided, well, why don't we just take that? Why don't we be as cocky as a hip-hop artist and say that's who we are and just call ourselves that and talk about ourselves in songs in first person. So that's when we became Vintage Trouble. The song's called Blues Hand-Me-Down.
Yeah.
Wow! clap your hands. You got them hands. I come from vintage trouble. Look out, find me when you find. I'll pop your bubble with my live wire, straight shooting dirty mouth. Papa is a blues man. These better understand. I got the got the blues. Hand me down. Hey, long hair mercy on my soul. You didn't know, Charlie. Never know. Hand me down the blues. Hand me down the blues. Hand me down the blues.
Trouble live on the radio this afternoon, man. That is some soul music there. I thought we were gonna have to put you back in that seat there. You were just gonna bust out. Now the line in the song about Papa was a blues man. Did you grow up with blues music and soul music around your house?
No, Papa was a blues man, not a blues player.
Ah,
you know, like he just the clothes, the attitude, the running around the streets. Like, he kind of is the person in real life that blues people take on the persona to go with their music. Like, he was that man. And I guess, thank God, because that's the other balance. Otherwise, I just would have been an angel, because my mother was, like, the sweetest thing in the world. So I'm excited that my dad was who he was so that I could live up to the music I wanted to.
Now, you sing in church, though, right?
Yes, I did.
You sang in church?
Mm-hmm, in the cherub choir, as a matter of fact. Yeah, it was very interesting. As I was a child, I got to sing in the cherub choir, and at the same time, I was in a Pampers commercial when I was 14 months old, so I had my butt out on commercial, and then also singing in church. So I guess I got to be naked on TV and sing in the choir at the same time. Ooh. When I was less than four, so it kind of worked out great.
Well, how did you guys sort of get into soul music? I mean, it seems like sometimes it's a forgotten art, you know, especially in the United States.
Well, first of all, the fact that you say it's forgotten lets us know that our mission is kind of a good one, because the reason why... One of the things we like to do, besides just being inspired by the period in the 50s and 60s when rhythm and blues and soul came together, one of the things we like to do is keep the torch alive. You know, there's so much amazing music that's happening now between, like, a lot of the EDM stuff and a lot of the modern pop stuff, but that's just one kind of music. And for us, like you're saying, it's a dying form, really, is the true, imperfect, soulful, raw, and challenging and overly sexy music is kind of becoming extinct, and we're going to do everything we can do to keep that alive. The way we found it, each of us was different. You know, I think Nolly had started with blues, and that became part of what is so much of our rhythm and blues. And, you know, Rick grew up listening to a lot of Motown and this kind of stuff, and so we get that. And Richard, his groove is so unorthodox that it makes all of our soul music not feel like just something from the past. And then for me, just hearing music in church. So we all kind of have thrown different things together in it. And I think that's why people think when they hear it, it has something distinct about it. I think it's just because the four individual members have such different views about what we do, but we all love the same exact kind of music. So then you hear different peaks and valleys coming out that most people wouldn't usually hear in traditional rhythm and blues music.
Yeah, you bring a unique mix to the blend there that just makes it your own sound. You know, when you play the new record, it's just like, yeah, that's Vintage Trouble. You know, that's that's what it's all about.
No, it's been really exciting. You know, again, you know, we've been lucky enough to do a lot of these late night talk shows, and it's great to get in these spaces and you feel like these people see people perform every day, but there seems to be something fun about what they receive from us when we're there, and therefore we give out a great energy with them. Like, we walk into these places that seem like they should usually be cold and sterile, and we get there, and people are just so warm to us, maybe because they've seen some other things, and they think of us as something kind of very different and down to earth, and I'm glad, I guess we live up to it, because when we leave, we have dinners and parties and orgies and things.
Now, you got an interesting fan base, I guess. The Troublemakers, right? Can you talk a little bit about those guys?
The Troublemakers? Well, it's a self-proclaimed name. We used to play at a place called Harvell's, which is a legendary blues club in Santa Monica in California. And when we were first starting Trouble Tuesdays, which is one of our residencies, one of the guys that is now a troublemaker says, you know, we come and we make you guys, we're the troublemakers. And then it's really been nice because then this whole community has started. And by its sound of the word troublemakers, you think it's going to be these people that, you know, want to go out and be crazy, which is a lot of it. But then there's the other part of it, too, which is these people are, our fans are very smart and they're very active and proactive, and they're poets and they're activists. And the community, it's more than just music. And that's so great to see because, you know, I grew up with a lot of friends that would see Grateful Dead and Fish and all this kind of stuff. And you realize that what was so exciting about music during a time when people would slow down and allow themselves to really listen is that it formed communities. It wasn't just about songs and audiences and bands. And so for us, what's great about the Troublemakers is that these people have come together and people go on vacations, people fall in love with each other, people that didn't know each other before some of our shows, you know, they know each other from Facebook so much that when they get to a show, the people are hugging each other. I've heard someone's husband say to someone, how do you know that woman? And she's like, we just talk on Facebook all the time. And, you know, or like, you know, it's funny too because it's also hard on Facebook because you don't know how young or how old anyone is. And then you get to our shows and you see like everyone from, you know, underage people to people that validate us by telling us how good our music is. Because someone that was living in the 50s and 60s, it's so interesting. We do these merchandise lines and people come up afterwards every time for signings. And people that lived through the 50s and 60s, they say things to us like, you probably don't want to hear it from me, but, you know, I thought you guys were amazing. And our thought is, you know, what you're telling us is the real deal. You know, you lived through it the first time. And when anyone tells you that something gives them the same feeling that they had when they listened to something back in the 50s and 60s that made them who they are today, that's the hugest compliment. I mean, just to strike. I mean, we're so busy in our lives. If someone gets struck by a kind of music or a kind of people or a band, you have to understand that's a huge, huge compliment that someone slowed down enough to say what you're doing has affected me. And then people fly. We had people flying from Chile. And
to come and see a show.
Yeah, to see a show in Nashville. Brazil. I'm like, you know, they were closer places. And everyone has stories. And I like the fact that I guess what we're putting out makes us seem so approachable because everyone likes to tell real stories about things. And it makes you think about the music differently. Yeah. Otherwise, you'd get tired of it every night. We'd play the same songs every night. So all we can do is rely on the audiences to give us a new feel for what's happening. And so from them sweating to them throwing things on the stage that are good things and to them pulling my mic cord down to them to, you know, telling an amazing story about how a friend was sick or something and they played them one of our songs and it brought them out of a hole. And it's overwhelming the amount of joy that's thrown at us every night. It's kind of hard to walk around, actually.
Yeah. We're speaking this afternoon with Vintage Trouble. They're performing live in the studio today. Can you play another song?
Yes. Let's do Nancy Lee is a song about when my mom and dad met each other, and it was in a barn dance. And my dad, I'm sure at that time, probably had to just use his boyish good looks to get my mother because he wasn't a man of words or poems or anything like that. But I think I was trying to think what kind of love song my dad would write for my mom. And lyrically, it couldn't be anything overly sappy because my dad never said anything sappy. And I figured it would groove because my dad lived his life like a blues man. So this is a song we came up with. Mm-hmm. I see you, Nancy Lee. I hope that you see me. I see you, Nancy Lee. I hope that you see me. I'm not the only other man who's your hand in the business head. Oh, but I don't just want, I need you, Nancy Lee. Country girl, see
was giving and making lemonade. I was tearing down the dusty road back to the city. When across the porch there I stayed. And I tell you, I wasn't looking for it no more. It came hunting me. How do I get what I get? Honey's gonna be. Precisely why I never fell in. She don't care where around the world I've been singing. Nothing is nothing unless it ends with amen. That's why I tell you, I'm one looking for it. No, it came hunting me. How do I get what I get? From down to one knee. I see you, Nancy Lee.
I see you, Nancy Lee.
I hope.
Vintage Trouble live on the radio this afternoon with Nancy Lee. That's another great cut off the Bomb Shelter session.
What?
Great album, you guys. Man.
Thank you.
We got Ty Taylor on vocals and Nellie Colt on guitar, Rick Barry O'Dill on bass, and Richard Danielson on drums.
Now, on boxes.
You'll have to see pictures of this when we post them up there. That's very creative use of a box.
That's what she said.
Now, we were looking at your tour schedule, and you play the Social in Orlando tonight, and then you go near Atlanta, Alabama, then you go to Japan, then you go to...
Oh, yeah, we got Japan.
Yeah, you're going to Japan. I read it.
And it's like one of those like reality shows. Like we come in there, playing the studio. You guys, that was so good. You're going to Japan. Your bags are packed. Each of your mothers is in the hallway.
And then you go to Iowa, then you go to Texas, then you go to Ireland. You play and you open for this band called The Who.
Yes, we've been on the road with The Who for the last 4 or 5, 6 months or something like that. So we go back, we meet them in Europe in June, for all of June.
Now, how did you team up with The Who, with Roger Daltrey and The Who? How did that
Well, we were, we again, I keep saying honored, but we just are honored so often. I think it feels, I don't know, thank God. Anyway, so we won this award over in England called the
Classic Rock Award
for Best New Band. And in that same award ceremony, Roger and Peter were winning an award for the Quadrophenia documentary. Mm-hmm. And so we were there at the same time. So that's when the awareness started. And then we got to do some work for Roger's
Teenage Cancer Trust.
We got to go into the hospital and we got to play and be around the kids and got to do all this kind of things. And then so later when the tour is happening next year, we just get a call saying that we were asked to do it. And what's really nice about that, and you didn't think about it at the time, is that I guess it had to do something with paying a good deed forward, you know, because there's obviously a stack of CDs of everyone's friend and manager that's best friends with the Who and all this kind of stuff. And for some reason, we rose to the top. And I think it's because of the fact that we did something good. And so it's definitely been a lesson for all of us as a band is, you know, you just got to do as many things that are great in your life, not just for you, but just for people around you. Because you just never know when something's going to turn out to be a payback for that. Not that you should do it for the payback, but I think that the universe is fair, and that's the way it works out. So we just rose above the stack because we did something for Teenage Cancer Trust. And it's been so amazing. From the first day we got there, Pete Townsend, he saw our first show, and the second show is our sound check, and he comes out front and he tells his entire technical staff to give us the entire projection wall and everything that the Who uses during their set we can use for our set. So Nolly's like scrambling around. We're trying to find all the artwork that we can get. And we decided to stay kind of simple as you can get with, you know, 20,000 screens behind you. But we tried to stay pretty simple. And, you know, even after the first day, their technical staff was so nice to us that, you know, we were like, maybe could we let's just ask. And we asked them, could we put the projectors in the live feed that's happening in black and white? Like it was. And they were like, yes. So they've just been so giving. And every day there, their entire crew and the guitar techs and the sound people that have been with them for 30 years, they just couldn't be more welcoming to us. And then it's just the oddest thing ever to be sitting eating a meatball and then, you know, Pete Townsend come to sit down next to you, or, you know, you're just walking around. One thing was really funny. We were late for a stage entrance one time, and our show, we do our pre-show music and then we go to places, and on our way to places, Roger stopped us. And he was in the doorway, just kind of casual, leaning against the wall. And we're like,
bath towel.
Yeah, bath towel. We're like rushing like around, trying to get there. And he says to us, yeah, I saw you guys on the Letterman show. And so he goes into this whole conversation about it. And in my mind, I'm thinking, this guy is trying to play games with us.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, he's trying to test whether we think it's more important to have this conversation with him right now or to be on time for his audience. So, like, we're like, not, we can't figure out what we're supposed to do.
We gotta go. We gotta go.
Yeah, like, this is good. But this is... No, but it's so much fun on the road with these guys. Yeah. And we lucked out too because the fact that Quadrophenia documentary was out and everyone's so aware of that. And you get to find out that The Who, before they got started, they wanted to be a rhythm and blues band. So when they went into the studio to start recording music and start writing songs, it came out to be what we know as The Who, but they headed in to try and do something like what we were doing. So it's like a nice partnership, and I love that they have all their fans kind of know about that.
Yeah.
So it's nice. It feels like a really well-designed evening, and glad to be a part of that well-designed evening.
Yeah, I mean, those guys grew up in the 50s and 60s in playing music, you know, so they understand the real deal. Like, their ears, like, they know it when they hear it. That
you
guys
see
are
them
real.
Early on talking about Booker T. Jones and Booker T. and the MGs. That was, like, their main inspiration starting off, you know.
Yeah.
So great.
Now, it's great to have you guys in the studio here, and can you play us another song?
The reason why we really, really love playing songs like this on stations like this is because we know that you have a really educated listener. And it's not just a song that has a good groove to it, but it's a song that has a real message. You know, there are people out there in our world that become really dark and heavy because of a lot of time that we're in right now. And, you know, you read the news and there's all this kind of stuff, and you realize if someone may have gotten to someone a day before they did something silly, that person would not have done that. If someone would have called them and told them, you know, things might be a little better, or rethink your actions, or don't press this button, or don't take that pill, or whatever you're going to do, if someone was told that they were loved or anything. So for all your listeners, anyone that is out there, just when you're finished listening to this station or this moment, you know, call someone you know. Let them know that you love them and let them know that they are important, because not enough people know that about themselves. And the song is called Nobody Told Me. This is a message and a calling. So get up and gather around everyone. I've been withering and dying.
trembling from trying, barely crawling. What can I do? What will I do? Nobody told me. Nobody told me. Nobody told me how heavy this life was gonna be. No. No. Here stands a silver-lined believer, not believing. All rosy-eyed dreamer awakening, yes, yes. Into a moment where hands are not given to the needy. What will be good of the needy ones? Somebody tell. And I'll call on it.
That's Vintage Trouble on WFIT. Man, guys, that was great. The new CD, The Bomb Shelter Sessions, out right now. Do yourself a favor. Get that CD. Get it into your collection. Big show tonight at the Social in downtown Orlando. Hmm. If you would like to be our guest, you can give us a call, 321-674-8950, and you and a friend will be our guest to go see Vintage Trouble tonight at the Social in downtown Orlando. And that was a great set.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. You're tuned to Soundwaves on WFIT 89.5 FM.
Oh, my God, we're going to Japan?